Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you guys hear me? Too loud? Too quiet? Oh, perfect. Just making sure. I don't want to blow everybody's ears out. I just turned up my mic volume. Okay, everyone. Okay. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, right? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. How was everybody's weekend? Wonderful, wonderful. God is good all the time. God is good. God is good, everyone. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. Okay, everyone. Let's jump into my lesson for today. I call this lesson The Deceptive Peace, How the Devil Uses Comfort to Distract Us from God. Okay? So the devil has many different ways, everyone, that he uses things around you, jobs, entertainment, any form of distraction he can, money, lust, things that make you feel good, drugs even out there in this world, to keep people from finding God. He will do anything and everything he can to make you feel like you're at peace when you're in your sin, when you're not on that straight and narrow path. When you're not following God, he doesn't want you to follow God. If you're already damned, he wants to keep you damned because he is a warden of sorts. He's stolen a lot of souls and he doesn't want a single one to go back to God. I've explained this before, but we're going to go into depth about that today. Okay? Sometimes, everyone, the devil lets a person live a life free of trouble to keep them distracted so they never ever find God and go home. Okay? And if you are not being persecuted, if you are not being attacked, if you are not being challenged by that devil, you should be very concerned. Again, I've said this many times, but it is so true. Do not complain about your suffering. Rejoice in it because you know you're going to make it, because that's when the devil attacks. When you are on your way to God, when you're on your way to that finish line, when you're on your way to Jesus, that's when he attacks you. So if he's attacking you today, if he's making your life hard, if you're having hardship of finances, hardship in your life, you're being challenged by court, you're being challenged by people in your community, it doesn't matter who it is or what it is. If you are being challenged, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Because that means that you are on the straight and narrow path and you're not out in the wilderness. That should be a sigh of relief to you. When you see that the devil is attacking you and God is encouraging you, then you're on the right path. Because God will continue to leave signs in your path that you are on the right road. He leaves breadcrumbs as you are traveling on that straight and narrow path. The signs are all around you if you're on that straight and narrow. And the biggest one is the devil's attention. Okay? Again, the devil will not pay attention to those already in cages. Does the warden in a prison ever just go to every single jail cell and visit every single inmate every day? No. He leaves them be, doesn't he? And they go about and do their thing in prison, don't they? Right? Unless they're causing enough trouble and ruckus, then they'll get a little bit of attention, maybe. But mostly from the guards and not directly from the warden. Okay, it takes a lot to get the warden's attention. In this case, it takes a lot to get the devil's attention, really. And that is following God. And that's the lot that you are doing that catches his attention. Okay, I want to start our scripture reading today in James chapter 1, everyone. We're going to turn our Bibles today to James chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read that whole chapter because it's a really good chapter. It's all about trials and temptations, everyone. All right? So I'm going to put this up on my screen. We're going to do my magical paradox, okay? Let me switch over a couple screens on my other system here, and we will go ahead and mirror that here. And then magic happens. We end up with my paradox. Okay, everyone, we are in James chapter 1. It starts out at verse 1 here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation. Let me pause there. What does that mean? Humiliation, it builds humility. And humility leads to what? Humbleness, right? So the rich need to be humbled by what? Humiliation. Right? To build humility. Let's continue. Since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even when they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Wow, so many good messages here, everyone. Faith without works is dead, everyone. Faith without works is dead. That's one scripture that comes to mind when I read about that. Okay, the rich need to be humbled because they think that their lives are already perfect. Doesn't God always have room to perfect your life more? Can't he always improve upon your life? So who are we to say that our lives are already perfect? Who are we to say that we are already comfortable just as we are and we don't need to change? God always has room for change in our lives, everyone. God always has something better for us. Okay? God always can tear your foundation down and build a better one in its place as many times as it takes to shape you to be what you're meant to be. To shape you to be righteous before His sight. He will chip away at that stone until it is a perfect statue. Okay? God is powerful, right? God is powerful, everyone. Let me switch my screen back to my face and let's continue my lesson. Magic. Isn't that wonderful? Technology has its uses. Doesn't mean that it's everything, but it certainly helps. So, the devil uses a person to live a life, or he lets a person live a life free of all trouble and temptations to follow God, to keep them distracted so they don't find God, everyone. Okay, he will give you anything he can to keep you from following God. He will bribe you with even the most wealth you've ever seen in your life to make you think that it came from God so that you think you're on the right path. He is a deceptive being. Okay, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, everyone, it also says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, this is the straight and narrow path I talk about. Okay? The straight and narrow path is the narrow gate. It's the narrow road. It's the one that few find, because everyone goes for the easy road. The easy road leads you out into the wilderness, and that's where the devil keeps you. All right? So in our pursuit of happiness, everyone, we often equate a life free of troubles with divine favor from above, right? However, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, it reminds us, everyone, that the big road goes out into the wilderness and the narrow road goes back to God, okay? The devil can create an illusion of peace, everyone, which leads us to believe that comfort is synonymous with God's blessing, all right? And this is the delusion of people I see in so many churches all around the world. They think that, oh, when they're living a life of absolute comfort and prosperity and money and everything that they could possibly want, that that's all from God. No, 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 no. That's from the devil, everyone. It doesn't matter if you're in church or not, the devil can keep you tempted and keep you lost, okay? I see people in church that are still in the devil's prison, okay? I see people in church that are sitting there praising God and are still in the devil's prison because when they leave that box, when they leave that church, guess what they do for the next 6 days? They sin. They sin in their comfort, right? In their comfort that the devil has provided them. To keep them from finding God. To keep them from even thinking about Him throughout that 6 days. And then for that one day of the week. For that one day of the week that they go back to their church on their Sunday. They take their daily bread that they call daily bread. Their once a week bread, I call it. Their once a week bread. And then they claim that they want to repent of all the sins that they just accumulated for those last 6 days. And then they leave their church and they go back to their sin for the next 6 days. All right, and this just keeps repeating because this is what the devil does. All right, the devil just keeps people sinning and sinning and sinning so that they don't actually stick to God's word. All right, because if you do, it keeps the devil away and he doesn't want that, does he? He doesn't want you to keep him away. He doesn't want you to make him flee with God's word, does he? All right. So this deceptive peace, it can distract us away, everyone, from seeking a deeper relationship with God, all right? From enhancing your relationship with Him, from feeding on that word every day, from knowing the scripture, from knowing the difference when the devil comes into your life, from knowing how to make him flee, okay? from resisting temptation. When we experience a lack of trials, we may become complacent to everyone, thinking that we have everything we need. Yet in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it encourages us to consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Produces perseverance, everyone, which is also synonymous with endurance. Okay, endurance, like being able to run the mile run and keep running to the end without stopping in the middle, okay? Perseverance and endurance. You're going to run that straight and narrow till you make it to the finish line, right? You're not going to give up. You're not going to stop and walk back. You're not going to deviate and jump off of it to go off into the broad road out into the wilderness. You're not going to do that because you're going to persevere, because this is what it builds in you. The absence of struggle, everyone, though, can lead us to neglect our spiritual growth, making us vulnerable to the enemy's schemes, everyone. The devil knows that a comfortable life can lull us into spiritual apathy, which kind of reminds me, you know, when your muscles weaken, it's called atrophy, and your spirit can do the same thing. Apathy and atrophy. Keep those two words in mind, okay? Atrophy. When you're laying in a hospital bed for months, your legs shrink, right? That's called atrophy. When you're not feeding on the Word of God, your spirit does the same thing. It loses its power, doesn't it? Right? That's called atrophy. All right? That's when your muscles get weak. When your spiritual muscles get weak and your armor's weak, then the devil can penetrate that armor. Okay, when you're not strong in God's word, when you're not strong in your faith, all right? This is how the devil likes to keep people weak, weakened, so that they are always easily manipulated by all of his tactics, all right? Our goal in life is not to be comfortable, all right? If you are following Jesus, you're going to suffer with him, just like all of his disciples did. You're going to suffer on that straight and narrow. You're going to be hated just like he was. All right? A good sign that you're on the right road is when you're hated by everybody, when you're hated by the world. Because if you're a friend to the world, you're not a friend to God. But if you're a friend to God, you're not a friend to the world, everyone. You're not a friend to the world. All right? We are not to conform to this dying world, everyone. But that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to conform to this dying world. He wants you to hold on to it with everything you got. Okay? He's trying to get you to stay away from God so that when that time comes, when the cutoff time comes, when that cutoff time comes, everyone, you're stuck on the wrong side of the fence. Then you realize you were duped. Okay? Then you realize at that point when you go to hell, that everything you thought you were comfortable in has now led you to what? Eternal discomfort in hell. All right? And now you've been forsaken by God because you didn't keep your faith, because you didn't know the difference, because you thought, oh, prosperity and money and fame and fortune and having all the toys I could ever want and this and that and the biggest mansion and the largest wardrobe meant that God was blessing you. No. Look at Jesus. Was he blessed that way? No, he was blessed in other ways. He had his mind on the kingdom. All right, the kingdom of heaven. But he was not full of material things. He did not live in a mansion or a giant palace. He was not in a huge castle. Everyone, where was he? He was out on the front line on the road and homeless, going from place to place to place without any place to lay his head. Most of the time, they just slept outside, okay, in their travels, all right? This is how it was for them, all right? Even crossing through the deserts, was there a palace waiting for him every 10 feet? No. He didn't have comfort, everyone. He didn't have that comfort, all right? Because he lived in discomfort for God, for his Father, because he was going against the grain of the world, all right? He was not living a material wealth everywhere. He was living in spiritual wealth, everyone, which is so much more powerful than you can imagine. All right, we are to follow by his example and live the same way. We should not covet anything material in this world. Nothing is worth losing your salvation over. Not one single thing. Not one in this world. The devil will distract you with everything. Ignore it. Ignore it. Don't take his bribe. Stay on that straight and narrow path. It is not worth losing your soul to go off that straight and narrow path to be comfortable. I have watched so many of my friends turn away from me and run off with the devil. I kid you not. It happens like in a blink of an eye. They turn on me. They betrayed me, everyone. I've had many betray me, turn on me, countless now. All right, more than I can count on my hands combined have turned on me. But why? Because I'm following God and the spirit in them does not. All right, the spirit of them was offended by that because that's a demon they have in them. That's the devil that's talking to them. Their father obviously was not God. All along it was the devil. If they only hear the devil's voice and they don't hear God's voice. All right, just like the Pharisees of old. All right, the Pharisees of old, what did Jesus say to them? He said that their father was who? Not God. The devil, everyone. He said their father was the devil. And he warned them against blaspheming against this Holy Spirit, right? That would be a what? An unforgivable sin, right? That's what he said to them, everyone. So I have watched so many people turn to the devil and they're living what they think is a life of comfort. Seriously, and I'm watching this unfold before me. I'm watching them live what they think is a life of comfort where they have money just flowing and this and that. And they think God is just blessing them and blessing them. Oh no, they are so deceived. And if I try to tell them that, I will just get more backlash. If I try to tell them that, oh, you're living a life of lies, then they will turn on me even more and attack more and more and more and try to defend their lifestyle. Why are they defending their lifestyle? It's because the devil makes them defend that lifestyle. Makes them defend their jail cell. Okay? So complacency, everyone. It's a subtle trap that can ensnare even the most devoted believers. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, everyone, God warns the church of Laodicea, saying, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth, he says. A life devoid of challenges, everyone. It can lead to spiritual stagnation where we become indifferent to our need for God. Okay, the devil uses this complacency, everyone, to keep us from seeking the truth. All right, the truth of the Word of God in the Bible. He doesn't want us to read that. The devil doesn't want us to read it all. All right, that's why he's made entertainment everywhere. YouTube and everything else to keep you distracted. Television, sports, all of these entertainments. Even the movie industry, music. All right, they use everything they can to keep you in a spell of delusion so that you don't find God. All right, they make you idolize false idols like celebrities and politicians and more. I watch people do this and I just shake my head. I shake my head because I can see clear as day where they're going and I mourn for them, I do. I mourn for all of those people that are blind, that cannot see God or the truth of His Word or the power of His love. Okay? When we are comfortable, everyone, we may forget to pray, we may forget to read the Scripture, or we may forget to engage in fellowship with other believers like our group here. All right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25, it urges us to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, everyone, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, everyone, but encouraging one another, right? The enemy delights in isolating us during our times of comfort, making us less accountable and more susceptible to temptation, everyone. The danger of complacency is that it can lead to a false sense of security. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it warns us that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay, when we believe that we are self-sufficient, we may neglect our dependence on God, everyone. The devil can use our comfort to create a barrier between us and the Lord, hindering our spiritual growth. He creates a wall, like the Great Wall of China, to block you from seeing God, all right? In a world filled with distractions, everyone, the pursuit of worldly pleasures can easily take precedence over our relationship with God. All right, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, it cautions us, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." But it also comes from the devil, everyone. All right? The devil uses our desire for comfort and pleasure to divert our attention away from the eternal, everyone. When we prioritize worldly pursuits, we risk losing sight of our spiritual purpose, all right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, everyone. It reminds us, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." The enemy wants us to invest our time and our energy in fleeting pleasures, everyone, keeping us from abundant life that God offers, all right? And the abundant life he offers is having your treasures in heaven. The abundant life is eternal life in heaven with him. Isn't that where we all want to be? We don't want to be in hell, do we? We're not here to fall to hell. We're here to learn from it and to know what not to do. We're here to learn from all of our challenges and to be challenged. And then we grow from it, everyone. We grow from all of our challenges and we find God. And we learn that we need him. And that's the point of life. All right, we all need God, everyone. Not a single one of us can truly live without God, because you're already dead if you don't have him. If you don't have him, consider yourself already in the land of the dead. All right, because you were already falling there anyway. God was offering you a way out. And people who chose their comfort over the suffering that comes with walking that straight and narrow path are not going to find comfort for long. The moment they die, they're going to fall to hell. All right, and when they go to hell, they're not ever going to see comfort again. Not even a single drop of water. All right, we don't want that for ourselves. This is why we should rejoice in our suffering, everyone. All right, because you know then that you're truly on the right path when the devil attacks you. All right, the allure of worldly pleasures, it can truly be intoxicating. It leads us to believe that fulfillment lies in material possessions or social status. However, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, it reveals the emptiness of such pursuits, stating, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil." Toil is what, by the way? That's work, right? All the work you did. "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve," again, worked to achieve, "everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind." Think about that for a minute. Chasing after the wind. How meaningless is it to chase after wind? Well, everything else in this world is just as meaningless, all right? Unless you learn from it. Unless you learn from it. And the thing you should learn from it is that you need God and not the material things of life. Material things of life are only tools to get us to God. Not tools for us to worship material things. Not tools for us to enjoy a lavish life, everyone. All right? The devil uses emptiness to keep us distracted, preventing us from seeking the true source of joy and fulfillment, everyone. All right? I see the time. Self-sufficiency can be a deceptive trap, everyone, that leads us away from God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 through 18, we are reminded, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is who gives you the ability to produce wealth." All right, so if you are producing wealth, all good things come from heaven only. But a false sense of security of having lots and lots of money suddenly given to you, you should question, because God doesn't necessarily work that way, unless he's truly trying to teach you a lesson. Okay? You see, God rejoices in our suffering because he knows it builds us up. He knows that we are going to become stronger for it. It's like a tree again, out in the wilderness, a tree out in the open, versus a tree that is sheltered. All right, there is a very vast difference between them. The tree that is in the elements, that's being weathered, has a strong trunk and grows to be stronger, and only stronger every year. It grows because it grows wiser. It grows and evolves to withstand the elements, but a tree that is sheltered doesn't know the difference. And the moment that tree is planted out into the same field with the tree that is already weathered, the tree that is not will be blown over by the next storm. It will not survive without braces, without all kinds of support. All right, we are just the same. All right, for us to grow a strong trunk, we must endure the weather. All right, it is necessary for us to endure the weather of life, everyone, on this straight and narrow path. It means you're on the right path. Don't cry about being in suffering. All right? We are all going to suffer for God, right? You should be proud of it. God suffered for us. His Son suffered for us. All right? We should be proud to suffer for him. All right? So in conclusion, fulfillment is not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of God, everyone. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it assures us, and this is my last scripture, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." The devil may offer a life of ease, but it is only through a relationship with God, everyone, that we find lasting joy and purpose. The enemy wants us to believe that comfort and material success equate to fulfillment. But the truth is that true contentment comes from knowing and serving God. As we seek him, we discover that our deepest longings are met in his presence, everyone. I want to go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Let's go ahead and close, everyone. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, acknowledging that true peace and fulfillment can only be found in you. We thank you for the reminder that comfort can sometimes be a distraction from our relationship with you. Help us to seek you earnestly and to recognize the subtle ways the enemy tries to lead us astray. Lord, awaken our spirits to the truth of your word. May we not be lulled into complacency by the comforts of this world, but instead may we pursue a deeper relationship with you. Help us to prioritize our time with you, to seek your kingdom first, and to trust in your provision for our lives. As we close today, may we carry your light into the world, shining brightly for all to see. Help us to be vigilant against the distractions that the enemy places in our path, and to remain steadfast in our faith. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and hallelujah, everyone. Thank you for your time today. Thank you so much.